Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Oh, thank you so much for this book. How precious, how important. God, work in our hearts and lives today through thy word. Help us to hear what the pastor has to say this morning and apply it in our lives, because it's for our good. Anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him this morning. And then, Father, if there's somebody in this room that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave, they'd get that settled. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I want to make my cell phone warning speech, please. Now, here's how it works. You have to make sure it is turned either to off or to vibrate so it doesn't go off during the service. If it goes off and we hear it, what little sanity you have left will be taken from you completely. And you'll be driven from this room completely insane. For some of us, it will not be a long journey. But we want you to be careful now and check your cell phone and make sure that it is turned off or to vibrate. Please help us. I'm going to ask you to sit and listen very carefully this morning. I want you just to look in your Bibles with me now here in Genesis chapter 5. I want you to notice something. You realize, of course, the Bible says and teaches that God created us. The word created in the Bible means to make something from nothing. And it says in Genesis 5 and verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them. And look at this statement, and called their name Adam, Adam and Eve, by the way, in the day when they were created. In other words, Eve took Adam's name. God did that. That's the way it's supposed to work. This day and age, I'm not going to fuss with anybody about the two last name thing stuff, but it didn't come from, you know, male dominant culture. It came from biblical practice. When a woman got married, she took the husband's name, that sort of thing. That's free. But anyway, the point is this. God, the Bible says, after he made Adam and he made Eve, he called their name Adam. He wanted them both to be understood by the name Adam. Now, whether that was his first name or his last name is inconsequential. What his name means is what is important. The word the name Adam in the Bible means taken from the dirt. Taken from the dirt. The red dirt one. Now, God wanted the entire human race to understand they were taken from the dirt. Now, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to give you a biblical message on a biblical understanding of a biblical self-image. Self-image is a big thing nowadays. Whew, boy, you talk about people who are crazy about this thing on self-image. I mean, there's whole periodicals named after self, and there's a lot of people today who believe that people's real root problem is they have a bad self-image. Of course, the trouble with that kind of identification is this: they don't know to tell you how to get the right kind of self-image. So they think it's how you feel about yourself or what other people think about you. And unfortunately, a lot of people today are getting a self-image, but they're getting it from the wrong place, and they're getting it the wrong way. And then we have people who are self-centered. No wonder they're self-centered. Well, first of all, you teach someone it comes from a monkey that you're an accident. 200 trillion, 20 trillion years ago in primordial ooze, something wiggled and it came out with an eyeball and turned into a human being, which evolution proves dirt can become people and water can become people by accident. You teach people that you're an accident. It was just something that happened and people showed up. And if you teach people that, then we got where we are, became what we are by the fact that we we lost the tail and quit swinging from the trees, which you know as well as do I, we could all use the tail. You got armloads of groceries, you're trying to get in the house. Wouldn't it be a blessing to have a tail reach in your pocket, pull out a key, put in the lock, and open the door? Come on. You got more than two kids, you need a tail. That third one goes by, whoop, you just get him when they go by, you got it. I mean, whoever thought that, that's, brother, I'm on the target today, I'm on target, I'm telling you. Whoever said we don't need a tail, you're crazy. Of course we do. But the idea, the whole concept of that philosophy, and it's an unscriptural philosophy, it's an ungodly philosophy, that we're here by accident instead of by purpose, creates a selfishness in people's minds. It also creates an understanding that if we're nothing better than animals, we can go ahead and act like animals. And you, brother, let me tell you something. That one philosophy has literally tainted mankind with an improper understanding of who we are and where we come from. But if you take it, just, and this is the way my mind works, and you forgive me for this. If you take the name Adam, and Genesis 5:2 says God didn't just call him Adam. He said he called their name Adam because every time they call, said, someone asked him, what's your name? I'm from the dirt. God wanted them to have the right kind of self-image. I'm a pile of dirt. Now the point of it this morning, though, is this. Why does God want us to remember that we come from the dirt? And if you ever wonder if there's, you know, what's the principle between evolution and creation and what really is the difference, obviously creation teaches that you, evolution teaches you come from the water and et cetera. Bible teaches you come from the dirt. When you die, what do you go back to? You don't go back to water, you go back to dirt. Even life itself teaches you the principles of truth here. But so what is the point of him saying, I want their name Adam. I want their name to be, you come from the dirt. Because God wanted us to understand a couple of things. Number one, he wanted us to remind us where we came from. In Psalm 103 and verse 14, it says, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are but dust. You mean God wants us to think we're absolutely nothing and we're nobody. He wants us to remember what we were before God came along. This idea of this thing about Adam and why we are called Adam is to remind ourselves who we are without God. That's what we are without God, dear people. You understand that this morning. We're dirt with the breath of God giving us life. Go, there in Genesis, go back just a couple of chapters, and he repeats the creation principle several times here. But looking at the truth, look at Genesis 2 and verse number 7. After the creation in Genesis 1, where God made this and he made that, and then the last of his creation was the sixth day he made man, and then from man he took a rib and he made a woman, and the woman was the crowning glory of God's creation. He made them, he made man and woman last as the crown of creation. But in Genesis 2 and 7, if you'll notice, he says here, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now that's what he is without just dirt, okay? But now notice this, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We are three-part creatures, body, soul, and spirit, created in the image of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, by the way. But the point is this. Here's what Adam was before God came along. He was dust in the Garden of Eden somewhere, or not even there yet. God places him in the garden after this. He's dust of the ground, and God just comes along and takes dirt and forms it into a body and then breathes into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life. That's the Spirit of God. So he's a body now and a spirit. And when he's a body and now a spirit, then the Bible says he becomes a living soul. Now today they'll tell you that all that matters is the mind and the heart and the life, but the truth is without the breath of God and the Spirit of God, we are still nothing but dirt. That's all we are. Now you may be living and breathing and medically you're alive, but the truth is we're nothing. Before God came along, friend, we're dirt. That's what we are. He wanted to remind us of what we are without God. Without God, we're a pile of dirt. With God, breath of life, living soul, God puts that there. You say, well, that was Adam, Pastor Johnson. That was the first one. No, the Bible tells us in the Psalms, you were fashioned in the lowest parts of the earth, in your mother's womb. What you are in your creation and life that came there didn't happen because of the seed of man and seed of woman came together. That is not life. That's just the conception. God gave life there, and life that's brought forth. That's why abortion is wrong. People stepping into the womb and playing around with what God created and put there. And we don't go into all the ramifications of whether it should or shouldn't have been, danger of a mother, etc., and all these sort of things. Get this picture, friend. You're messing around with the creative work of God. But without God, we're Adam. We're dirt. Before God comes along in our lives, that's what we are. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We could be medically alive and put the stethoscope on our heart and hear it beat, put us on all the machinery and give us every indication of life. But as far as God's concerned, until the breath of God is in you and the Spirit of God is there at regeneration and salvation, you're dead in trespasses and sins. Don't you understand, friend? In this day and age where people are just about dislocating their shoulders, patting themselves on the back for what they accomplish and what they do and what they achieve and what they think they have done with their lives. Well, look at us today, Pastor Johnson. Look at the achievement of mankind and how far we have come in life. You mean because of electronic gadgetry? That stuff where you go somewhere and you buy something and then someone punches it into a computer and it doesn't work and then they don't know what to do after that because they don't know how to add 2 + 2 without a computer. You mean that kind of stuff. The electronic gadgetry, the things where people sit and talk on their cell phone like they're deaf. I always want to tell them, excuse me, just put the phone down. They can hear you now. "Hello, Joe, how's it going today?" And they talk loud on their cell phones, I think. Either the dude's deaf on that end or this guy's deaf as a post, one or the other one. Those electronic things, those GPS things you put in your car that tell you turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left, and you're out in the middle of a field. You go, "How in the world did I get here?" Because you listen to the box instead of watch the road. That's why. And what about those electric? Boy, we've come so far. Why? We've made peace in this world today. We've conquered all the diseases. No, we haven't. We're still dirt until God breathes breath of life into us. Simply put, that's what this means. He wants us to remember what we are without God. That's a proper self-image. Without God, friend, you're a pile of dirt until the breath of God is breathed into you. That takes place at salvation. When I, as a sinner, realized Jesus died for me and paid for my sins, I trust Jesus Christ to save me. I am born again. God gives me life. He regenerates me. The Spirit of God comes to live inside this dead in sin pile of dirt that's walking around, and then we become alive. Hey, our name is Adam. You say, "Well, that's not a good self-image, Pastor Johnson. How are you? How do you feel today?" "I'm dirt. I can't feel good about myself that way, Pastor Johnson." You know what? You don't need to listen to me. You can't be right about what you're supposed to be until you realize what you are. And we're dirt. That's what we are. To my saved Adams this morning, let us not forget what we were without God. Now you look at me this morning. I don't care how long you've been saved and how long you've been on the journey of grace this morning, friend, until God found you and you found Christ and trusted Him as your Savior. You know what you were. You know where we were going and what was going to happen to us. Yes, somewhere down the road, I'm afraid many of us have just forgotten what we were before God came. And in mercy and grace and love and understanding and conviction and correction brought us to that place of repentance where we realized, "I'm a sinner. I trust Christ as my Savior." Then when we were born again, any man being Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And our life was changed and different. Not perfect, friend, but we weren't the same anymore after that. Remember that, O Adam, friend of mine, when God breathed breath of life into you and you became a living soul and you had your salvation. Remember what you were without God. We'll never forget that. That's why we get stubborn. That's why we get proud. That's why we get arrogant. That's why we have that attitude of, yeah. That's why we got these people today who are quote unquote Christians. They don't act like it. They don't live like it. And they don't care. Because somewhere along the way, they forgot what they became. They forgot about what they were without God. Without God, the Bible says, and without hope in this world. So, Pastor Johnson, you must have got saved after a long life of sin. I got saved at the age of 9. 9 years old. Can't do a whole lot of sinning by the age of 9. Well, unfortunately, I did. But you can't do a whole lot of sin by the age of 9. But the truth is, I was a sinner enough to know I needed salvation. And I trusted Christ. And every so often, we did it just the other day, we're driving out through Shasta Lake City. And I used to live in that area there when it was Central Valley, Project City area. I used to live there in a drunkard's home. And I got saved at 9. I still remember my childhood prior to my 9 years of age. Every time I drive through that area, drive past now Shasta Lake City, I drive past there, I think about what would my life have been like had God not given me salvation. God is not condemning us to tell us we're dirt. He's reminding us of what we are without God. And then that's you, friend. And that's me. We're all sons of Adam here. We're all children of Adam. We all come from that line of descendancy. And he called their name Adam, the Bible says. Why do we need to be reminded that we're Adam? To remind us what we are without God. Number two, to remind us of what we can become. We are dirt. And we're dirt without God. But with God, why is that all things are possible thing keeps popping into our minds? Boy, there's folks today, they've got this idea that you can accomplish anything you want to. Just put your mind to it. You're the wonderful, you're the greatest thing on the planet. All you have to do is just think it and you'll get it. And it's in your heart. Just follow your heart and you'll never be wrong. No, the truth of the matter is that's all in scriptural philosophy. But a scriptural philosophy is this of what you can do. With God, you can do anything God wants you to do. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, if you start with dirt and I'm nothing without God, then you realize that once God is in my life and I trust Christ, now I can do what God wants me to do. Yes, you can. You can go through the years of life. You can go through the battles and the struggles and the valleys and the dark midnights and all the troubles of life, all of it with God at your side. For with God, nothing shall be impossible, the Bible says. Reminding me, I'm dirt. Yeah, that's right, you're dirt. Yeah, but with God, I'm God's dirt. God made me something. He fashioned me. He breathed into my nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul, the Bible said. Do you realize that in a human physical body, God created Adam and Eve, and they would have lived forever in a human physical body. That wasn't an ethereal body out of that ground. That was a real human body with flesh and bone and blood in it, just like what we have, and they would have lived forever. No gray, no aging, no diseases, no death, no sin, no sickness, no cemeteries, no jails, no hospitals, no nursing homes, no tombstones, all of that. Listen, they would have never shed a tear for sorrow in their life. They would have never had experienced loss in their life. They would have given birth to children, and those children would have lived forever. And I don't know if that's a blessing or not, but yes, but it is. And they would have been good. And listen, they would have gone on and on and on and on and on. He made this human body to last forever. See, what changed it, Pastor Johnson? You've got to be kidding me. Of course we know what changed it. Politicians. The economy. CNN. Fox News. Sin changed everything. But listen to me. But originally, that human body he created for Adam would have lasted forever. Do you understand what he says? But I want you to remember now. That you're dirt. And he wanted us to remind ourselves what we can become. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, the Apostle Paul said. You know who Paul was, don't you? A murderer, a persecutor of the church, who met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He got saved. And the persecutor of the church became the propagator of the church. And he who hated Christians became one of them and loved them. And was used by God to pen 2/3 of the New Testament. That's not bad when God can take a murderer and turn him into an apostle. Do you understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not saying we're all great and we're all wonderful. I'm saying this. What we can become for God is understanding is under the hand of the Almighty God. The one who we're nothing without. He's the one who can make us a life that's worth living. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm sorry for people today who are bored with their life. I wish I had time to get bored. It would be wonderful. I'm sorry for people today who have no point in their life, no purpose in their life. Well, I'm just kind of, I'm living, you know, I'm just making ends. That's all I'm doing is making those ends. That's all I try to do. I'm just trying to live out where I get one day in my life where I've got enough money to make it to the end of the month. And I got my job and I got a life and that's what I do and that's my life and I live and I die. That's it for me. I'm sorry that's your life this morning, friend, because that's not what God intended. God intended for you to have a life not only worth living, but an abundant life. And that's with the hand of God upon a pile of dirt. Adam, you remember something. All you descendants of Adam, you remember something. What you could become with the hand of God in your life. God took a murderer named David and made him a king. And made a king out of this man. Don't you understand what God can do in people's lives and with people's lives? It's amazing. If I didn't believe that God could take a person's life, any life, and make something out of it, I wouldn't be in the ministry. But he can, and he does. This December, by the grace of God, if she keeps putting up with me, my wife and I will be married 35 years this December. Now, I come from a broken home with parents married several times. Never lived more than 2 years in a row in one place throughout my entire childhood. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just my childhood and my life. The way it was when I was a kid. But I really do have a great sense of appreciation of the goodness of God in my life. See, well, Pastor Johnson, because of what you have accomplished. Nope, I'm dirt. He's God. And what God can do with a piece of dirt, a pile of dirt like that. Hey, Adam, you remember something, what you can become with what God can do with your life. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, I've made mistakes and I've failed at some things in my life. Join the rest of us Adams then. You're in the same group. And by the way, you know, I know a lot of people, they hide behind that excuse. It is. It's a little smoke screen for them. And they hide behind the excuse. Well, I've done some things I shouldn't do. And then we all say, well, we've all done things we shouldn't do. So let's just all quit. What do you say, huh? Let's just give it up and give it in. No, that's not how God works. God takes, listen, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 3 that he would give us beauty for ashes. We burn things up in our lives. We can bring that to God. And God can take and make something out of that. It's amazing what God can do. God has nothing to work with except a bunch of atoms, but my, what he can do with a pile of dirt if we'll let God do that. Some of us today, you need to stop acting like God in your life. You're the little G God and you just keep making one mess after the other mess. You keep creating one problem after another problem because you fear letting God take the full control. You think somehow or another God is going to mess with your life, mess up your life, and somehow or another you, in your infinite wisdom, can make a better life for yourself than God can make for you. That is not possible. Not possible. Only God can make a life that's right, and only God can fix what's messed up, and only God can turn it around. Hey, friend, He called their name Adam because he wanted us to remember what we can become with the hand of God in our life. Well, I want that, Pastor Johnson. Then I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll find out for yourself, hey, God is good. And the will of God is good. And it is acceptable. You'll come to a place of acceptance with it. And not just resignation. You will accept it as much as anything on this planet. Our grandchildren are with us from the Bay Area. And the little girls came this morning. I have an office at the house where I work. And they came in my office. All dressed up and ready for church. And I was doing a couple last things to get ready to leave for church. And Brooklyn, the five-year-old, she comes in the office. Good morning, Gramps. I said, oh, sweetheart, we've been sitting out on the deck for a minute talking earlier. And she came in. I said, Pookie, I'm finishing. Give me a minute here. And she goes, I just wanted to say hello. Put the pin down. I said, come here. Give me a hug. Come on. Got to hug this kid now. Gave her a hug, kiss. Then Jacqueline, the almost two-year-old, she comes in right behind her. They're matching dresses today. She comes in behind her like that. Gramps. I said, yes, Pete, what do you need, Jackie Poo? My favorite thing is I tell her, I say, Jackie Poo, say, I'm a pistol. She goes, I'm a pistol. And I got me a kiss right flush on the lips this morning from that little one. I said, can Gramps have a kiss, please? Got me a kiss. I said, yep, that's acceptable. The good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. You can go ahead and try to make the mess you want to of your life and then make a mess and then try to fix the mess you made from the mess you made, the mess you made from the other mess. And all you're going to do is just keep messing up. Okay, you got it. Good. And the truth is, one person got it. The rest of it, you understand it? We'll just keep messing things up until we say, I'm dirt without God. And with him, I can do what I need to do. And then get God in on this thing. Do you understand, friend? We're Adam. We are Adam. When God gets involved, then we're Adam with the hand of God on us. He wanted their name to be called Adam, lastly, because he wanted us to remind us of where we're going. When it's all over and done, friend, you're going to dirt. You understand? So we get all this stuff in our lives. Here we go. We get it stretched, strapped, sewn, injected, color it, pull it up, pull it off, pull it out, cut it out, liposuction it. We take vitamins until we're bulletproof. You could run through a herd of mosquitoes. Is there such a thing as a herd of mosquitoes? A flock of mosquitoes. What are they called? A swarm. Pay attention. They know what's going on. You can run through a swarm of malaria-infested mosquitoes. They can bite you and suck you down dry. You've got so many vitamins, you just stand up and keep on going. And eat all them stinking granola bars and drink all that fresh bottled water. Get all the plans together. Make all the preparation. Figure everything out. And cross all them T's and dot all those I's and get your money in a safe place, which I think today is under the mattress again. And you got it all together now, right? You get it there. You got it all figured out and you got it all planned. Then you go get sober and quit drinking and walk across the street and get hit by a beer truck. You should get sober anyway. And the truth is, you're going to dirt when it's all over and done. It's not God trying to put the fear of death in you. He's trying to help you to understand something. This is not all there is. You understand that. Huh? Everybody thinks you're neither peanut butter and sliced bread, bro. Everyone pats you on the back. You're citizen of the year, citizen of the week, or you got a parking space in front of Walmart. I mean, whatever it is. And we got all the stuff going in our lives, and everyone thinks you're wonderful, and they all stand up at dinners and talk about how great you are. When it's done, you're going to dirt. God wants to remind us by calling us Adam that there's a finality to life. It's not a bad thing. If you're saved, you're going to heaven, but we're going to dirt, friend. That's all there is to it. Now take care of yourself, you know, exercise and do the thing that you're all supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. That's all good and it works, but the truth is when it's over, you're going to dirt. You understand that. And you're not going to take any of it with you. The man got ready. He was coming to his last moments of his life. He said, now, honey, I'm going to die. And I want you to do me one last favor, would you please? She said, of course, dear. He goes, I want you to take all my money, all of it, and I want you to put it in the coffin with me. When I die, I want to take it with me. And he died. At the funeral, it's over. They're getting ready to close the casket. The wife said, excuse me, just a moment before you do. And she takes a metal box over there and she places it inside of the coffin and they close the lid. And her friend comes up to her and says, you're some kind of good Christian. You took all that money and put it in the coffin? She goes, well, no, I took it all in one and put it all in one account, wrote a check and put it in that box. If he can cash it, he can have it. There's a way to get around it, folks. There is. You just got to think on your feet. When it's over, we're dirt. You understand that? And when it's over, we're dirt. That's the way it works. So it's not like you don't live like there's no tomorrow. It simply means this. Some of us, we are so earthly infatuated with this life, and that's all we can think about is this life. Tomorrow, next week, next month, what I get, what I want to have. And God says, and if you die, you're going back to dirt. Remember, Adams, remember that. That's what we are. We came from the dirt, and that's where we're going back. It should cause us in our lives to have a life that has certain priorities to it. If all I get is what I want and do what I want with my life for me, myself, and what I want, and my life, then you know, friends, you've got a very small circle of a universe. There's really not much to your life. And if you die, you go to dirt, and you can go down to the cemeteries today and walk around and count the tombstones, and most people's lives are comprised of a sentence or two, and that's their life. You go to Genesis 5 and go to the end of the chapter where it talks about Methuselah and how he lived 969 years and he died. A man lives 1,000 years and that's what we know about him. He lived and he died. You know what the tragedy of that is? That's the way most people's life is going to be. Because they really think they're going to live forever in this life. They must think that. They must think this is all there is going to be, and when you die, that's what I think, Pastor Johnson. I believe that when I live and die, that's the end of it. And you die, you go to the grave and it's all over. What a pleasant concept. I know this. You can exercise until your neck is bigger than your head. You can get all the conditioning programs together and you can do all the stuff. But I don't care what you do. You can't prevent the fact that this life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. And then when we're done, we go back to dirt. And then we go back, our soul goes back to the God who gave it to us. Hey, Adams, you remember God said, when it's over and done, the body I made for you goes back to the ground, but you belong to me, and God takes us to himself. And if you're saved, you go to heaven, and if you're not, you go to hell. And that's the way it is, and we become dirt again. Don't you understand this morning, friend? He called their name Adam. It's a proper self-image. I am nothing without God. But with God, I can do what I need to do in my life. And then my perspective is, as good as it gets when it's over, I'm going back to the ground. That's where my body goes. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Is that you today? Let's stand our feet, please. Would your heads bowed and eyes closed?